Today is National Aviation Day, and boy, does Connecticut have a lot to celebrate. From Igor Sikorsky developing the world's first practical helicopter right here in Stratford to Pratt & Whitney Engineering, powering commercial airlines and military aircraft. I tell you, our state is small but mighty. It has really helped shape the way the world flies. And did you know today Connecticut remains a major aerospace hub? It has tens of thousands of workers and hundreds of companies driving aviation innovation, not just here, not just across the country, but across the globe. And somebody I've been able to connect with on this topic about our rich aviation has been Len Roberto Jr., who is right here in Stratford with the Air and Space Center. And Len has been featured on the Diner Tour. He has been a guest on our show. And he could probably tell you a whole lot more about the aviation history and why it's so prevalent in our state of Connecticut. So he joins us on the show for this very special day of National Aviation Day. Welcome back, Len. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Are you kidding me? First of all, anytime I can talk about aviation in Connecticut, I have to be honest, Len, and people know my uncle in the 90s worked for Sikorsky, but man, I never appreciated our rich history of aviation until, honestly, I got into this job and I really got to lean in and meet people like you and really learn more about it. So do you mind kind of just first starting with that, talking about how Connecticut really ended up on a global map? With aviation being one of our claims to fame.
Sure. And we have to start with, of course, our friend Gustav Whitehead. You know, I know today is Orville Wright's birthday, anniversary of his birthday in 1871. You know, we all know what they accomplished. But Whitehead was a Bridgeport native here. And in 1901, he was conducting many, many experiments. Many people saw him fly, signed affidavits that they saw him in the air, and he was developing engines and developing his flyer here. So he's kind of really the start. I mean, even before the Wright brothers, he was practicing, trying to get into the air. There were many other people here. So he's probably the start of it, right? Maybe the father of Connecticut aviation. Flew many times throughout 1901. If you look back in the records, the newspaper articles, you know, throughout 1901, there were many instances. Oh, Whitehead flew yesterday, and it was reported that he flew in Bridgeport and Fairfield and Stratford. So he deserves some credit. We talk about that at the museum all the time. We had our Whitehead Day just this past weekend. Had relatives of Whitehead were there. It was a great day to celebrate the pioneer, right? He really deserves credit.
That's very cool.
And then you move on to, you know, Sikorsky. You know, you mentioned Pratt & Whitney. You know, during World War II, Stratford was working three shifts, 24 hours a day. They were working here to build the F-4U Corsair, you know, which went on to become one of the most important aircraft of World War II and in the Korean War as well. You know, they were building them here seven, eight, or nine a day. Were actually coming out completed, tested, ready to go. Just under 7,000 were built here during World War II. I mean, that's incredible. There were thousands of people in this area that still have connections and family members that worked there, and they come and visit, and we talk about, you know, what they did, what their relatives did. We honor them all the time. And then at the same time that was happening, Igor was developing the helicopter, as you mentioned. You know, all this testing and innovation was going on here, all at the same time, during the most critical time in our nation's history, World War II, all that was happening right here. And still to this day, Sikorsky Aircraft is testing autonomous flying vehicles. One of the members of our board of directors is involved with some drone technology that they're still working on right here. They test these things right at Igor Sikorsky Memorial Airport. You know, sometimes we see them flying over, so it's still going on.
It really is amazing, Len, to see how obviously Connecticut has had a real place in aviation history, but it's still such a prevalent industry today. Like, I mean, you see Sikorsky in the headlines, for example, or these major contracts or major rescues. You know, you see where Pratt and Whitney, again, from a military standpoint, where their name dropped. It's amazing how it's still so prevalent in our state.
Absolutely. And the thing that really makes us happiest at the museum is to see the young people come. I can't tell you how many, every weekend, every Sunday I'm there, at least one or two families with someone, a young person, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old, sometimes older, just fascinated by airplanes and what's going on in the sky, and to see them, you know, going into this field, STEM stuff, and going on to college and engineering and aviation fields, that really makes us smile. And we just spend as much time as they want, and they get to sit in airplanes and they just love it. And it's so cool to see that there's young people that are so invested in this. We have a couple of volunteers that are in high school that, you know, want to go on to further their careers. It's really cool.
And again, we've got Len Roberto Jr. here from the Connecticut Air and Space Center right here in Stratford. And not only does Connecticut have a rich aviation history, which we are acknowledging, especially on National Aviation Day today, but it is still such a prevalent industry in our state. And it continues to keep us in the headlines. You know, you talk about young people getting into aviation. Talk about, Len, the prevalence of education with aviation. So, for example, I love the Tango Flight Program. God, do I wish this was offered when I was a kid. But the Tango Flight Program is something that now some Bridgeport students and even Stanford students are getting into aviation in high school to the point that they are building their own aircraft. I mean, yeah. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's happened a couple of times here at the airport. I forgot what school it was, but the technical schools built their own, flown them here. I mean, that's something that's there's a Young Eagles program. There's all kinds of things for young people to get into flying. So many times people come in and they're 14, 15 years old, and they want to get their pilot's license. They want to go to flight school. So we have a couple of schools on the field. We talk about that. We're working with Stratford to try to get their STEM programs to get more involved and come to the museum, help us work on restoring aircraft, that kind of thing. So we're definitely trying to push that with the city of Stratford and any surrounding towns that want to get involved. We've had many, many school trips. It's really heartening.
It is National Aviation Day, and boy, does Connecticut have an awful lot to celebrate. We've got a very rich aviation history. In fact, it is one of the, I think, claims to fame for our small but mighty state. We're talking to Len Roberto Jr. of the Connecticut Air and Space Center here in Stratford. And Len, I know you grew up loving aviation. Obviously, you still do it career-wise. What would you say are some of the biggest changes you have seen in aviation over the past few decades?
Wow, that's a good one. Well, in terms of flying, you know, it's the reliance on the glass cockpits and digital readouts in cockpits is changing the way people fly, at least from what I see and what I read. You know, it's a lot more reliance. You've heard about accidents and things that happen, and they're blamed on pilots, but it's, you know, there's so much going on inside the cockpit that's not being told to them. They're not learning sometimes how to actually fly, look outside the window and actually look around and feel what's going on. They're relying on instruments. That's just one small little thing. But, you know, AI is, of course, becoming so prevalent in every part of our society. You know, how is that being used to help manufacture, to help, you know, innovate in that regard? I know that's going to continue to change. I use it every day in my job, so it's just becoming more and more important. Just those two quick things that I can think of off the top of my head.
I mean, and you do talk about emerging technologies. I mean, how have, would you say, even like drones, right? I mean, that's got to be another thing that's obviously been different in just the last few years, and kind of the emergence of that as well.
Yeah, we see that going on in the news every day, you know, with the wars that are going on, Ukraine and Iran. It's becoming a part of warfare that's even manned piloted cockpits. You know, the military is really investigating, you know, how to take the pilot out and rely on, you know, people flying the aircraft from inside a trailer, you know, all over the world. And they can do that now. Like I mentioned, one of our board of directors, Tad, who I think you met with, he's involved with some really innovative technology with from Sikorsky. They tested over at the plant, and it's going to be something else that's going to change the way rescue and warfare and all of that stuff. You know, we see drones delivering packages now. I mean, it's, who knows where it's going to end.
Yeah, it is. It's wild. And what would you say, again, we've got Len Roberto Jr. here from the Connecticut Air and Space Center. You know, you were talking about it's really fulfilling when you see young people coming in and wanting to get into aviation. We were talking about the Tango Flight program as well. What would you say, Len, though, are the biggest challenges facing aviation right now? I mean, probably the most overwhelming is just trying to get people into air traffic controller positions, for example, or really fulfilling some of those roles. And it is interesting. I think people are trying to get creative with attracting kids to this industry, for example. I think the FDA had said earlier this year that they were going to start looking at gamers, you know, people who send their kids to college and they go for video game design and things like that, seeing if they would want to get into air traffic controller positions. So from your perspective, what do you think are some of the biggest challenges facing aviation right now?
I think it's costs. Costs is a big part of it. I mean, people come in all the time and ask about what did it take to get their license? And it's quite an expensive proposition right now, you know, and a lot of that's out of reach for a lot of people. So that's a big thing. You mentioned gamers. A lot of the kids that come in, that's what they say. Hey, I've done this on Flight Sim and I've done this on video games. And now they get to sit in the cockpit and we talk about what it's really like and try to show what it's different about. What's different about a game than this? Well, you know, lots of things, but they're interested at least to that point to want to come down and take it further. So if it inspires them to come down and investigate and try to, you know, get in, go for an introductory flight at a flight school, you know, that thing, that's what we're pushing them towards. But costs have to be a big factor because it's very expensive.
Yeah, it's a good point. So Len Roberto Jr. on National Aviation Day today, and really every day we should be celebrating the fact that we have such an amazing history and we've really helped shape where aviation is over generations. How can people acknowledge National Aviation Day or just in general learn more? Obviously, I'm kind of hinting at the Connecticut Air and Space Center right here in Stratford. Yeah. People can certainly go and check it out. But what can they experience? I mean, how can people really acknowledge this?
Yeah, first, I'd say to do some research. Go online and look up Gustav Whitehead. Read about what he did. It's something that shouldn't be forgotten. And when people come in and don't know anything about him and we go through the discussion about him and learn what he actually did, they're converted. They're convinced. They want to go and do more research. You know, there's things you can read about what he did. And like you mentioned, come down to the museum. We're open every weekend, 10 to 4. We have some great events coming up this year. And every year, every month, we have a Pilates event going on August 29th, something new. We have our car show down at Short Beach, September 20th, to support the restoration of our Corsair, which we have in our museum. And then in October, we're going to have a military vehicle show, but we're also going to be visited by the Connecticut Air National Guard. It's going to be bringing down one of their C-130J Hercules that you can come and walk through, a big four-engine transport. Very cool. That'll be on our ramp. And you can come and learn about all of our displays and everything that we talk about every weekend to anyone that's willing to come down and listen.
Yeah, it's a very special place. And I am going to put a link to their website as well on ours, voiceofct.com. And Len Roberto Jr., I want to thank you for always making the time for WICC. Thank you for always geeking out over aviation with me. I so appreciate it. And I look forward to having
anytime
you on the show again soon. Yes, thank you.
You got it. Thanks.
I appreciate it, Len. And of course, if you want more information, as I mentioned, I will link it to our website, voiceofct.com. But again, happy National Aviation Day today.